Let's take our Bibles in this second session concerning the book of Galatians and go to Galatians chapter 1. In our previous session, we saw some of the background information of how Galatians is referred to in the book of Acts and how Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapters 13 and 14 went into the Roman province of Galatia. And as they were commissioned by God, they preached the gospel concerning Jesus Christ and got quite a response from those four southern cities that we looked at yesterday, from Antioch of Pisidia, from Iconium, from Derbe and Lystra. Then they returned into each of those cities on their way back to Antioch, and when they got to Antioch, they reported to the brethren there all that God had worked with them on that, what's commonly called their first missionary journey. But later on, Paul received confirmation, received sure knowledge that they had certainly swayed, they had turned from the gospel that he had taught to them. And by revelation, God had him write this epistle to these Galatian churches. This epistle, as we'll see, is in the category of correction, correcting the doctrinal error that was brought into the church at Galatia by the zealous Judaizers, the evil workers, who were opposing the things of God, contradicting the gospel that Paul preached, calling into question his ministry and authority, saying that you must be circumcised to be saved, that you must keep the law of Moses, and viciously persecuting Paul and the others that traveled with him. So, in light of that, God had this correctional epistle, the book of Galatians, written and sent to the churches of Galatia. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The first thing that is mentioned here is that Paul is an apostle by God and by Jesus Christ. He's not by a man or by men. It wasn't by his own human thinking that he appointed himself an apostle, nor was he appointed himself by, or was he appointed by some council of men, but he was an apostle, a true apostle of God by Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Brings to mind all the other brethren that were with Paul, not just physically, but spiritually, agreeing with him concerning the gospel of God. You know, the weight of the community of believers that's behind Paul, that's believing with him, that are like-minded with him, is represented in verse 2. And it's unto the churches of Galatia. Now, the word church means called out. This is, of course, sent to believers, the church of God. And oftentimes in the New Testament, when you read the words church of God, it refers to the whole body of Christ collectively. But here, it's talking about the local fellowships. It's unto the churches of Galatia. That certainly would have included the four cities, the churches of Antioch of Pisidia, of Iconium, of Derbe, and of Lystra. And then it says in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians, as all the other eight church epistles do, begins with grace, because this is the administration of grace. And as we work through this epistle, we'll see at the end of Galatians chapter 6, that it ends with grace. This is the literature of grace. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus Christ is the substitute for our sins. Now, verse 4 is the first specific mention of Romans doctrine. You know, one of the great themes in the doctrinal section of Romans is that Jesus Christ is a substitute for our sins. And he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The word world is the word age. The day and time in which we live, and this certainly is equally true in 2010, is described as being a present evil age. You know, in the book of Romans, doesn't it say that we're not to be conformed to this world, or not to be conformed to this age? You know, our identification is solely with Christ. It's certainly not to be with the fads and fashions of what's current, with the fads and fashions of ungodly men, you know, systems that are set up by the adversary, because he is the god of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But Jesus Christ gave himself as a substitute for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, that we've been set apart, that we're in the world but no longer of the world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So verses 1 through 5 are a salutation. There's a, you know, certain amount of praise, certainly a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for our sins, as our Savior, our Deliverer. And then great praise, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, verse 6 starts right into the correction. It's interesting to compare this to the other church epistles, because in the other church epistles, the people being addressed are referred to often as saints, you know, God's holy ones, or as the brethren. There's often thanksgiving given at the beginning of the other church epistles. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. But there's none of that here at the beginning of Galatians. Because look at what it says in verse 6. I marvel, and this word marvel can be translated, I'm astonished. I am astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, verse 6 tells us very clearly right here at the beginning that this is correction, because it's referring to another gospel than what Paul preached. Remember, Paul preached the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, the gospel of deliverance, the gospel that's laid out so clearly, so intimately and wonderfully in the book of Romans. But he's now astonished that they've been removed from that gospel, that they have turned to another gospel, and really that what that did was remove them from him that called them. And him that called them is God. You know, when you turn from the rightly divided word and go to another gospel, you know who you turn away from is you turn away from God. You turn away from God's word. If you're removed to another gospel, you know, it's not just, oh, that's okay because that's just his beliefs. Oh, that's okay because he's sincere. Or, you know, as you hear people say, oh, he's got a good heart. There's none of that in this correctional epistle. Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so soon removed from him, from God that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You know, the gospel that Paul taught was the word of grace concerning this age of grace, this administration of grace. The gospel that the believers at Galatia had embraced is another gospel. And it's a gospel that is not the grace of God. And when something is not the grace of God, it's generally a gospel of works, a gospel of law, and we will see that. So Paul was astonished. As it says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Remember, even right when Paul and Barnabas brought the word of God to Antioch of Pisidian, brought the word of God to Iconium, they were driven out of those cities. The legalistic Judaizers pursued them into Derbe and Lystra with great zeal. And those people were troubling the believers at Galatia. You know, they probably were very sincere. In fact, I would say, you know, almost 100% surety, they were very sincere. You know, they were very committed. They were, you know, probably, you know, very, very concerned about the believers at Galatia. But they were dead wrong. You know why? Because they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were changing it from the rightly divided word to error. There's not another gospel. There is only one true cutting of God's word. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Boy, these are words that ought to ring very loudly in our minds. You know, the history of Christendom has been a history of other gospels, unfortunately, a very little rightly divided word, and then people put up with it. God's word says, let them be accursed. This is very, very sharp, but very, very, very needed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Said it a second time, it's established. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, Paul was not a men pleaser. He wasn't just trying to be nice to people. He was trying to win people. He was trying to get people established and strong in the word. Paul took a stand for God's word. You know, he was doing this work for God. And now the devil had evil workers that were perverting the gospel, that were ripping off the believers at Galatia from the grace of God unto another gospel. And so Paul is bringing up his example. Really, in the first two chapters of Galatians, a lot of what is recorded is personal references to Paul, to his ministry. In fact, going back to verse 1, where it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That Paul was an apostle of God. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. This was being called in question by these legalistic Judaizers. They were questioning whether Paul was a genuine apostle. They were questioning his authority in the church. Some were saying, well, yes, there were true apostles, but those are the 12 apostles back at Jerusalem. Paul wasn't one of them, so he has no credentials. Paul, in the opening of the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapters 1 and 2, counteracts that. And it's counteracted not by his thinking, but by revelation from God. That he is the servant of Christ, that he's not a men pleaser. Verse 11, but I certify you, or I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me is not after man. He didn't get it from man. It didn't originate from man. He wasn't, like it says, verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of or from Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get the gospel that he preached? He got it by revelation. Where did he get his apostleship? It was by God. The word that he got was by God. The ministry he got was by God. You know, by the way, I didn't mention in verse 1, an apostle just simply means a sent one. So Paul was commissioned, or he was sent by God to preach this gospel. And this gospel, he didn't receive it of man. Neither was he taught it, but he got it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation, or my way of life, my behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Do you remember Paul back in the book of Acts? Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 for a second. You know, Paul didn't get this word from people. He didn't get it from somebody coming and teaching it to him. Nor, as this section that we're getting into here, did he get it by his previous education? Because what is going to be described is his previous manner of life, his previous behavior. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and Saul, or Paul, Saul is his Hebrew name, Paul is his Greek name, Saul was consenting unto his death, unto the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And then how about the beginning of Acts chapter 9? It says, and Saul, verse 1, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul was making havoc of the church. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. The word slaughter is murder. You know, he was the chief persecutor of the church. So, back to Galatians chapter 1. It says, for in verse 13 again, for ye have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You know, he hauled many men and women into prison, and he murdered some. He was a murderer of Christians. He wasted the church and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You know, Paul was a young man on the rise. He was ascending in responsibility and authority and recognition in his religion because of his great zeal. And that zeal extended to the persecution of the church. And verse 15, But, and this is another one of those great big buts in the Bible, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his, what, grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Boy, this is what occurred in Acts chapter 9. Remember, Paul had desired letters of the priests so that he could go and haul the believers in Damascus into prison. He got those letters, and as he was on his way to Damascus, Paul saw the light. He saw the light of the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was converted. He confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead because he saw him. He talked to him. And he was also blinded, and so they took him by the hand into Damascus. And God sent a wonderful disciple named Ananias over to minister to Paul, to deliver him from his blindness, and to teach him God's word so that he could also speak in tongues. So Paul got converted. And when that happened, it says, I didn't confer with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into, where? Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, this section of Scripture in Galatians chapter 1 needs to be put together with Acts chapter 9. This is a good example of Scripture buildup. Let's keep in mind the details of this. Paul, on his way to Damascus, got born again. He was led by the hand into Damascus, which Acts chapter 9 records. And then what this says is that he then went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he's in Damascus, then he goes to Arabia, and then he comes back into Damascus. And then it says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So remember those details. If you're going to work the principle of Scripture buildup, you got to pay attention to detail. Look at Acts chapter 9. Paul's in Damascus. He gets ministered to by Ananias. It says in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes, this is as a result of Ananias ministering to him, as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. Okay, so he's in Damascus after his conversion, after his healing, after his speaking in tongues. He's with the disciples. How long? Just certain days. Okay, doesn't say a lot, but just certain days. And straightway, immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all they that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? So, what have we read? Well, Paul's at Damascus. He's gotten saved. He's gotten healed. And what does he immediately do? Well, he witnesses that Jesus is the Son of God. And everybody's amazed. You would be too. This is the chief persecutor of the church. Now, what isn't mentioned, but what we've gotten as additional information, is that Paul then went into Arabia. And Arabia is desert. Okay, he goes out into the desert. Do you think that this was a rather radical, life-changing experience for a young man named Paul? Oh my gosh, you think that it might have just shocked him? Can you imagine? He's realized that he was 100% wrong, that he was just moving in the total opposite direction of God's will, but he's made that realization. Don't you think that at this point he needs some time to sort out his thoughts? Remember, he's a very learned man in the scripture, but he needs some time to figure it out. So where does he go? He goes to Arabia. He gets away. He leaves Damascus, and he goes into Arabia to get his head together. And that's what believers sometimes need to do. You know, maybe it might occur at a family camp, or it might occur when you just take some time to get off by yourself and pray and read your Bible and think things through. A wonderful principle in God's Word. The Lord Jesus Christ did that often in his life and ministry. But Paul goes into Arabia. Now, what occurs, the result of that, is recorded in verse 22. Now he comes back to Damascus, and it says in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. One translation, Paul increased the more in the word, and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Hey, what did he do initially during those certain days? During those certain few days, he just simply testified, he witnessed that Jesus is the Son of God. But now he's gone to Arabia. He's had time to really consult the scriptures, to think it through. Now he comes back, and he's strengthened in verse 22, strengthened in the word. And now he confounds the Jews that dwelt at Jerusalem, proving that this is the very Christ. And then it says, and after that many days were fulfilled. So certain days is when he's in Damascus. Then he goes to Arabia, and now many days back in Damascus. You might wonder, how can many days equal 3 years? Well, look at 1 Kings chapter 2. I was just reading along one time in 1 Kings, and having had worked Acts 9 and Galatians 1, all of a sudden these couple verses in 1 Kings chapter 2 just leapt out at me. It says in verse 38, and Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem, how long? Many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish and did such and such. But here, like when you put Acts 9, the many days of Acts 9, together with Galatians 1, the many days are 3 years. Isn't that interesting? Very similar use. So, back to Acts 9 here for a second. It says, and after that many days were fulfilled, this would be the 3 years that's referred to in Galatians chapter 1, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates and day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. I can see why. Now, let's go back and pick up the record in Galatians 1. Keep your finger in Acts 9. So it says, again in verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. And then he returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up where? To Jerusalem. Now, isn't it interesting? Galatians doesn't talk about the circumstances of him having to be let down in a basket over the wall by night by the believers. This is a good example of scripture buildup. It doesn't tell us about Arabia in Acts chapter 9. But when you work the word of God, between Acts 9:21 and 22, he went to Arabia. Then he comes back and he's strengthened. And he confounds the Jews, proving from the scriptures that this is the very Christ. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But of other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Let's go back and read more detailed information about this trip, where he spent 15 days going up to acquaint himself with Peter. It says in verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, that the Lord had spoken to Paul, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. This phrase, coming in and going out, is a common phrase in the lands and times of the Bible, referring to your manner of life. Like the shepherd would take his sheep out and then bring them back in. Going out, coming in. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to where? Tarsus. Tarsus is where Saul was originally from. Now let's go back to Galatians and complete this record. So, what a wonderful example of scripture buildup, huh? Paul gets letters commissioning him to imprison the believers up at Damascus. He sees the Lord on the way up there. He's blind. He's led into the city, and Ananias ministers to him. Paul immediately witnesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Then he goes out into Arabia, comes back strengthened in the word, strengthened, and confounds the Jews, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Then after these 3 years are fulfilled, he's got to get out of Damascus under the cover of night. He's let down the wall by a basket, and he comes up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And he spends 15 days there at Jerusalem. The other believers didn't believe that he was a disciple, but Barnabas did. So Barnabas takes him and introduces him to Peter and to James. And again, so it says in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So of the 12, how many did Paul hang out with during those 15 days? He hung out with just two of them, with Peter and with James. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. This is the truth. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And remember where Acts 9, where we quit reading, Paul had gotten himself to Tarsus. Well, Tarsus is a city of Cilicia. You see how the scripture fits together? How it fits like a hand in a glove, that the scripture builds and you got to work it together and put it together, but when you're patient and when you do your diligence, that God's word just fits together so beautifully. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. You know, it's very interesting as you go through Galatians chapter 1, in verses 6 through 10, the Galatian Christians are rebuked. Paul was astonished that they'd been removed so soon from the Word of God. And those Judaizers, the ones that were perverting the gospel, are denounced. And then, starting at verse 11, is a whole section, and this will go on into chapter 2, that Paul's gospel came from God and not from man. Remember verses 11 and 12, that it's revelation from Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14, it couldn't have come from his education, because where he was at prior to his conversion was opposed to the gospel of God. In verses 15 through 17, he didn't receive it from the 12 apostles. And when he went to Jerusalem, he only saw Peter and John and James for a space of 15 days. So that which the Judaizers were alleging, first that Paul was not a true apostle and that Paul's gospel didn't come from God but that it came from man, is being rebuked, is being corrected rather strongly here in the opening chapter of the book of Galatians.